Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
United Kingdom, Mother Britain. The question is, what's gone wrong and what is to be done? We have a series of statistics that support the despair that is everywhere on the front pages of the London Times and the London Telegraph and the Manchester Guardian. The cost of living is the way it's shortened. However, it has to do with doubts about the prime minister's conduct, doubts about the airlines, doubts about the railroads. Also, the fact is that this has been going on. I learned from Joseph Sternberg of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, who writes political economics for the journal based in London. This has been going on for longer than the pandemic, longer than the supply chain story that we tell very well here in America about the cause of inflation. In fact, real wages have been declining for more than a decade in the United Kingdom, and now they're accelerating in decline as the GDP is reporting negative for 2 months in a row. Whether or not that it's a recession seems a sideline, because the despair, the gloom is what Joe is reporting on. Joe, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining. The filling of a tank of gas costs more than $100. That's enough to make everyone despair. However, where did this despair, where did this decline come from? When did it start, Joe? If it wasn't the pandemic, is there a year we can point to? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Well, I find it kind of difficult to point to a year when Britain's economy started slouching toward the situation it's in. I mean, some of these trends that are creating a problem now have really been going on for many decades. I mean, the basic phenomenon is you've got the world's fifth largest economy, the second largest economy in the continent of Europe after Germany. And it's kind of a mess at the moment. I mean, as you pointed out, we've got 2 months of GDP contraction and the risk of a recession lurking right around the corner. We've got rampant inflation at 40-year highs. I mean, the Bank of England, currently inflation is about 9% here. The Bank of England is forecasting it could get up to somewhere in the 11 to 12 range later this year. You have real wages, wages adjusted for inflation are falling at the fastest pace in about four decades. Why is it, I wonder, that the British economy is running into these problems? I think that a lot of it is that they are encapsulating many of the problems that Western economies have experienced, only more so. So it's a chronic difficulty that they have had unlocking productive business investment that would kind of stimulate productivity increases and inflation-adjusted wage growth that would have increased the resilience of the economy. There's been this tendency to pursue the sugar high of headline gross domestic product or GDP growth, which they've achieved by goosing the property market or the financial services in the city of London, sort of the British equivalent of Wall Street. It's been this failure to think about the taxes and the regulations and all of these policies that would, other policies that contribute to stable, productive innovation, growth, entrepreneurship in the economy as a whole. And I think that Britain is really paying the price for a lot of those policy failures that have been accumulating for a very long time.
Is this a surprise to the British public? You note that at Christmas time, the Bank of England had a interest rate of 0.1%, which is zero. It's now 1.25%. So the B of E has been accelerating. Was the public not paying attention? Were they distracted by Boris Johnson? Why is this suddenly despair, Joe?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that feed into that. I mean, certainly the public has not been surprised by the inflation or the mounting signs of economic distress because the ordinary people have been living this for a long time. And in fact, this is the big story across a lot of Western economies over the past 2 years, I think, which is that we were all experiencing rising prices at the supermarket, rising prices at the gas station, rising prices in the department store for a long time when the political class and the policy class were in denial about the severity of that kind of problem. So I think that what's happening in the UK right now is not so much a fact that a matter that the public has been surprised by these developments. I just think that it's actually the problems have been dragging along in one form or another for such a long time that in a weird kind of way, the public is starting to view it with a sort of dreary inevitability. You know, it's almost like this phrase we used to have, the soft bigotry of low expectations, or, you know, the British voters don't expect better of their economy. And that is its own form of political problem, because you need that pressure on the politicians and the policy class to force them to think more creatively to solve these very urgent economic problems. And I think that sense of urgency about creative thinking is a big part of what's been missing in the past decade or two.
Joe's remarks stem from his article published in the Wall Street Journal, The Very Preventable Economic Disaster Overtaking Britain, that was also published in the London Times. And to great attention in London, because Joe is speaking to what people see. I read from the Times to within these hours. Archie Norman, chairman of Marks & Spencer, recently predicted that the rate of food inflation could reach as high as 10%, while Andrew Bailey, that's the governor of the Bank of England who's been raising rates because of inflation, said last month that Britons were facing apocalyptic, that's a quote, food price increases. The Institute of Grocery Distribution has forecasted food inflation could hit a peak of 15% over the summer. So you've got food security challenges. If the public is not surprised because they've been paying this, is this a product of the Bank of England? Can we name Andrew Bailey as the villain? Can we point to Parliament? Can we point to the long slide into this that no one was addressing for the last decade? Is that adequate? You know, Americans, we like to find the villain, Joe.
You can blame just about everyone in one form or another. So, I mean, I'll give you a few examples to illustrate the depth and breadth of the problem. I mean, certainly one problem has been the central bank, the Bank of England, and its governor, Andrew Bailey, who you mentioned, because they poured on as much stimulus as every other central bank did during the pandemic, even though this was not really the kind of economic crisis that monetary policy could solve. So I think that they are currently dealing with the legacy of that. And one of the ways that shows up is in a depreciating pound sterling. I mean, the pound exchange rate has really lost quite a lot of ground relative to the dollar in particular in recent months. And that has inflationary impacts because this is a very import dependent economy, particularly for energy and food. And so you pay more depreciated pounds for the same quantity of food, you know, if your exchange rate is starting to go haywire. So there's blame for monetary policy. There's blame for fiscal policy. I think that a lot of the government's taxing and spending over the past couple decades, but especially over the past 2 years, have been very destructive of the economy's ability to invest in producing new supply. For example, they throw up, increase the payroll taxes, which it is uncontroversial in economics that discourages work at the same time that you ought to be encouraging more people to return to the labor market after they left during the pandemic, and ought to be encouraging them to work more hours. And the tax policy is actually working against that. And then on things like food security, you have all of these sort of little micro market specific things, like the government was talking about a policy that would have encouraged farmers not to farm for the sake of increasing wildlands to help the environment. Even though that policy is not going to happen now, the threat of it for a few years will have discouraged investment in agriculture at a time when we now have a food security crisis. I mean, all of this and more just illustrates the fact that Britain has been stuck with a succession of governments for the past 15 years or so who do not seem to understand how economic growth and prosperity work. And so they keep fiddling with all of these little things at the margin and some of these big things without understanding at all what the consequences are going to be for economic growth, for productivity, for real inflation-adjusted wages and, you know, household prosperity and for inflation. And it is very destructive.
The column that I pointed to, you mentioned Boris Johnson's inheriting a conservative government that's enjoying a long time in power, 12 years, I think, at this moment, and it can be a few more given the results of the last election. The conservatives are addressing or not addressing this story, because you say they got credit for what they did in the 20th century. What have they done for us lately, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, part of the problem now, and I think that this explains why, you know, confidence is deteriorating both for businesses and households. You know, Boris Johnson is the prime minister. He leads the Conservative Party, the party of Margaret Thatcher. These are supposed to be the people who understand how the economy works. And yet he seems totally adrift. He's engineered this increase in the payroll tax that has been very destructive. His chancellor of the exchequer, Rishi Sunak, is talking about increasing the headline rate of corporate profits tax. That's going to be very destructive of investment. They've imposed a windfall profits tax on energy companies, which already is showing signs that it might suffocate new investment in the North Sea energy fields. So that's jobs and new energy supply that's going down the drain because of this government's policies. And I think that general sense that they're adrift is creating a lot of discouragement and a lot of frustration and an unwillingness or a resistance or a hesitancy on the part of a lot of people in the economy to invest in increasing supply that might help fight the inflation problem. And the difficulty is that after 12 years in power, the conservatives are just hitting that point in any political cycle where the rot starts to set in and the intellectual renewal becomes harder and harder for a party that's been in power for that long. And so I think that this is going to be the big political economy problem that we're going to face for the coming years. Their difficulty engineering any kind of intellectual turnaround within the Conservative Party.
I'm speaking with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. He writes political economics. We're speculating about what has gone wrong, and now we're going to turn what can go right. In other words, what is to be done with this, the English word is useful here, drift. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.